pulling on it. And these are my friends, you know. I've spent time with these children. These are like beautiful children, these 2-year-old children. They're like, you know, I could go out and they sing, they play drums, they, you know, make up poetry off the top of their head. And she's sitting there screaming, I mean, is he gonna drop her to the concrete? You know, is the cop gonna pepper spray him? Is the cop gonna hit him? What's the cop gonna do? If he drops his kid to the concrete, is she gonna land on her head? Is she gonna end up dead? Is that gonna be in my memory for the rest of my life? And we're sitting there yelling at the cop to stop this. And when the cop wasn't doing anything, I went in, and I'm not very large, man. You can see, and the cop is probably about twice my size, as someone said before, they usually are. And I grabbed his arm, and I was unsure what to do, because this is, I know you're not supposed to put your hands on the law. Like, I'm not stupid. I know he's got a gun. I know he's got all the power of the government behind him. I know he's got a baton. I know he's got pepper spray. I know he's a lot stronger than me. And I put my hands on his arm to take him off of my friend for their safety. I didn't even use all of my force, and I was basically more of a distraction than anything else, as far as I'm concerned. And he turned to me and he said, you know, the one life that they didn't violate of mine was that, you know, I had some sort of warning, you know. He turned to me and he said, you know, back off or you're next or something like that. And I continued. And he let go of them and put me under arrest. And I was like, you know, the paddy wagon. And I stayed there. Like I was telling somebody else, this is nothing unnatural, this is nothing extraordinary. This is, you turn on your nature program, you're going to see someone else defending, you know, their friend, you know, safety of the child in your hand. You can watch, you know, any, it's just a natural thing to do. And it was not my intent to harm the police officer. I had a cowbell in my hand with a, I don't know if you know, some piece of metal thing you'd say. I could have smacked him in the face, I could have done all types of things. It was not my intent to hurt him. I was conscious of what I was doing, I was not overcome, and I was not, you know, being violent. I just wanted to stop him from doing what he was doing, because he was potentially putting his child in threat of death or serious harm. And that's something I wouldn't be able to live with. I can live with, you know, fine or 2 months in prison or something like that. Anyway, so they put me in a paddy wagon, at which point, afterwards, I'm waiting there, and actually, to be honest with you, as soon as I was arrested, I felt really peaceful. For some reason, I just was completely calm, I was clear, the cop led me over, I called for someone to grab my bag that I had left there. And he threw me, you know, apparently on the video, I don't remember saying this, apparently on the video I said, you know, I'm totally relaxed. Like he said, relax, I'm like, I'm totally relaxed. And he arrested me. And he put me in the paddy wagon. A few, I don't know how much longer after that, Steve Argue came in and he's screaming, I'm sitting there praying to him, he's screaming in pain, his eyes are totally tearing, his face is red. And put me in the paddy wagon beside him. As soon as he comes in, he's like, ah! Like he's hurt, his eyes are just watering incredibly. And all of a sudden, feel like the stuff in my lungs, like the sort of burning in my lungs, and I figured out later, like, I'm like, what happened? And he was hearing me, and his pepper sprayed me twice, and he could barely get this out. His breathing was real short, and he's having a hard time breathing, like, I can't breathe, he's turning over and over again, I can't breathe, his breathing was really short, and it's like he was in a lot of pain. And I was breathing in the pepper spray that he's breathing out, and it didn't feel good to me, so I don't even want to know what it felt like to him, okay? And so he's telling me, I can't breathe, telling me he's pepper sprayed. I read a few instances where police have killed people with pepper spray, and so this scared the hell out of me. And I called to the police officer in the front of the van. I said, you have to get this guy some medical attention. He's been pepper sprayed. He's telling me he can't breathe. She's ignoring me. I tell her again. I go closer to the, you know, the sort of bars there, and I'm telling her to the officer in the front, and she's like, well, yeah, you know, we'll do that as soon as we get some time or something like that. And then they bring in a few more people, you know, Jim and Jimmy and whatnot. And then that happens later, actually. They take us, then they drive us to a parking lot, like right beside my lungs. And this is telling me that he still hasn't gotten any medical attention. I don't know how long it's been. I'm still telling the police officer to get him medical attention. They open up the thing, they bring in some people. Officer the favor shows up, and you know, he's got a little bit of a bloody lip, and he's totally fine. He's like, yeah, whatever. And then they go, and they start mopping up his lip, and I'm yelling at Sony. She's like, she leaves the van, and she comes back, she's getting, rummaging through something, she's looking totally confused. They're all sort of, you know, walking around with chickens with their heads cut off. I said, we've got to get my friend some medical attention. She says, oh, I understand, we have an emergency out here. I said, what, his bloody lip? And he's like, no, there's lots of people hurt, you know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of emergency. I said, you know, listen, my friend has been pepper sprayed, people have died from this. He's telling me he can't breathe, can you do something? And And I watched him mopping up, you know, the flavor and taking pictures of him. And eventually they come and they take Steve out and they put him on his knees and pour some water on his face. They didn't have a DPT to let him, you know, take his hands off so he can wipe his eyes or anything like that. And I said to the flavor was right in front of me. I didn't know if anything had happened between Steve and the flavor. I didn't know what the hell had happened. I was involved with something else. And he was standing there, and I said, you know, did you get my friend some medical attention? You know, he's in pepper spray. Well, I didn't realize it was him, the person who was pepper sprayed him, that I was talking to. And he looks at me and goes, I said, you know, people have died from being pepper sprayed, and you need to get him some medical attention. He goes, well, he'll be fine. He's like, your friend's a little violent. That's what he told me. Okay? After, that was Officer LeFevre. Yeah, I didn't know who he was. I don't know if he was the one who pepper sprayed Steve. He was standing there, and I said, my friend, people have died from being pepper sprayed. I've read, you know, medical accounts of people dying from pepper spray. And my friend's in pepper spray. He's telling me he has a hard time breathing. Can you help him? And he said, well, he'll be fine. Okay? So that's basically was, you know, my experience. Then they took him in, and he came in, and I'm like, you know, are you okay? And he says, it wasn't enough, and he's still having a hard time breathing. And his breathing was shallow. This was going on for a long time. I don't know how long it was. And so I'm still telling them to get him some medical attention. Basically, I'm trying to give you the impression that whatever line of breathing wasn't enough at first, the dangerous situation, then finally, within, you know, Jim Krasner and Vinny, we all start yelling, you got to get him some medical attention. Finally, you know, another cop comes down in the back and says, have you been given any water? And so he says, you know, between gases, it wasn't enough. And he says, have you been given any water? And he says, yeah. He says, that's all you get. Closes the door. And then he comes back later, and they put him down, they pour water on his face again. And so he comes in, and they take him out to jail. And there's been tons of really good points made. I don't know what exactly their intent was in doing that. I think it was maybe to provoke some sort of response, because maybe to show, you can't do this. You know, we're the power structure here. You can't come and yell at us when we're having our dinner. You know, we're going to show you who's boss around here. I don't know exactly what their intent was, but it was disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. You know, I'm not a violent person. I've never even been in a fight in my life. I'm charged with battery. Now, I want to know how come me and Steve and some other people are going up to witness stand. People told me, I talked to them, they said, you know, I could get 6 months in jail, $1,000 fine. I'm charged with battery of a police officer, grabbing his arm and he's attacking somebody else. I'm charged with battery of a police officer and resisting arrest. I don't know how come they're not charged with anything. How come the best we can do...
They get
to die. They do! How come, I want to know how come the best we can do is have a little bit of a public hearing. How come they had harsher actions than we had? They carried more violence than I even want to see. And I'm charged with battery with a police officer because I exerted some amount of force on him when he was attacking my friend. How come this is the best we can do? And I have a question for you before I forget. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you're with. And I've been here before. But you said you have a police video. Can I ask you just who you are? Thank you. You said you had a police video, and you didn't know what the procedure was, if you were able to show it or not. You're on the Citizens Police Review Board. You're not on the Citizens Police Review Board? My apologies. I would imagine coming to a situation like this where you know we're going to talk about this, you would be informed whether you could show it or not. I would just expect that of your job. You know, I would expect that if I had custody of this video, I was coming to the Citizens Police Review Board, I knew this issue was getting brought up, I knew there was charges pending, I would just go and ask my supervisor. You know, I just think I had a weird thing, and I'm not sure I can entirely believe you on whether you don't know if that you would actually do that. I don't mean any offense, I don't mean that as a personal attack, I just have that feeling, I'm just sharing with that. I think you should know that. We should be able to show a video here and having a picture view, but they should be able to see what's going on, the unedited vision of what happened. When KION, that news broadcast was there, Tracy was telling me she was there watching Steve get beaten. They were there with her camera. And they showed. I watched the program that you haven't seen yet that you're going to watch tonight. I watched the program. It didn't show the police being attacked. It didn't show half the stuff I saw of the police attacking people. All it showed was them chasing Steve, and then later, arresting him. It completely cut out the part where they were beating him. It completely cut out the part where they pepper sprayed him. And I don't know if they turned off the cameras because they knew they were never going to show that to anybody, or if they videotaped it and then just threw, you know, cut, slice that tape and got rid of it, or whatever. But they were right there, you know. And if there is some sort of video camera that has got that stuff on, that would be damn well better see it, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's tax money that's paying the police officers. They're hired by us. You know, our government is hired by us. You're working for us. It is your responsibility to us. You know, I'm not, this is ridiculous to me that, you know, if the police have some sort of control over this, that they should have an interior investigation. I'm not going to come to the people that are attacking me, say, please, sir, can you please look at, you know, you're oppressing me. Can you look at that? And then you do something about that? This is fucking, that's ridiculous. I have no faith whatsoever in that. So yeah, you need to have a public hearing. It does need to be broadcast on the news, in the papers. People need to come out to see it. And fast as possible, ASAP, external investigation. Get in touch with the people who have done this before successfully, like people suggested, to, as fast as possible, external investigation of the police. They're a threat. They've killed 20,000 people over the past 8 years in our country alone, okay? They're a menace to society. Thank you.
And that was Nassim Zarifi, who is charged with battery on a police officer, apparently for defending a man with a 2-year-old child on his shoulders who was being attacked by a police officer. The videos that he mentioned, there are three videos that I know of that now exist. One is the police video of the incident, another is the KION video, and the third is a video by Becky Johnson. Becky Johnson's video has been played on Club Cruise, doesn't show in the attacks on Steve Argue, but does show actually the incidents involving Nassim as the police drives the man with a child out into the middle of the street and eventually puts Nassim under arrest when Nassim essentially distracts him. The videos are available or should be available soon at the Citizens Police Review Board office for those who want to see them. You may have to arrange for a showing time, but you should give a call to the Citizens Police Review Board, which is open from 9 to 1 every Monday through Thursday starting tomorrow, and ask that there be a public showing of these videos, or that you be granted access to the videos. They're not closed or part of any personnel record. I have seen the Becky Johnson video, and I have seen the unedited KION video. We had thought it was the edited version, but indeed it was the unedited version, and unfortunately the KION video does not get there in time to show the pepper spraying of Steve Argue, nor does it show any baton beatings of Steve Argue. It does show Officer Connor carry out with his baton turning toward the crowd. Officer Lefebvre apparently has lost his baton. It fell as he was running. The two other officers involved in standing on Argue's wrists and so forth, and part of his, his feet, are not particularly commendable behavior on their part, since he's writhing in pain and is not apparently resisting arrest. That is shown, but there's no, their batons are holstered, so it doesn't seem they were the ones, unless they're pretty quick draw artists who did any beating with batons. But two witnesses at least assure me that they saw a beating, and I believe, I heard from one directly and from another indirectly, so that is still a serious concern of those of us who are watching this situation, plus, of course, the pepper spraying, which even Officer Lefebvre admitted in court at a preliminary hearing. He pepper sprayed an illegal distance of 3 inches. You're supposed to be a foot away from the victim's face. And again, all this has to do with incidents that happened in Santa Cruz around the May 22nd protest against the Representative Farr's business-as-usual fundraiser speech at the Democratic Party fundraiser, while the Democratic Party was essentially colluding with Clinton the bomber as he bombed Yugoslavia into submission. And there are many charges stemming from that. Again, if you're interested, you can come to City Council and talk about that on Tuesday night at 7, and actually in the Tuesday afternoon session at 3:30, there is a I believe there are appointments for the Homeless Task Force. For those of you who are interested, you can still apply up to Tuesday Council meeting if you want to be on the Homeless Task Force, or Task Farce, as I call it, though there are some activists who do believe it is a good idea to get on it or to get involved there. These appointees will have to be put on by the City Council. But if you want to apply, you can apply before City Council time, probably before noon on Tuesday. and you go to the city clerk's office, which is down near the city council chambers. Probably you have to do that tomorrow or Tuesday morning, and you fill out a form and you apply. You have to be a resident of the city of Santa Cruz to apply. You don't have to be have a person with a house. You can be a homeless person. In fact, the more homeless people involved, the better. I've stayed away from this because I believe, based upon the commission to examine the camping ordinance, which Catherine Byers did her little merry-go-round, ring around the rosy dance with in January and February, was such a farce that I think people need to really spend their time organizing real actions and protests. But that doesn't seem to be happening, at least in massive numbers around this issue, though Steve argues, the case around Steve Argue, and I guess there has been some recent organizing of the Frank Little Club, caucus of the Peace and Freedom Party, a group concerned with social justice issues, which had a big meeting on yesterday in Santa Cruz, and actually provoked some interest from the police department. They were watching. They had four squad cars downtown keeping an eye on these suspicious-looking characters in front of Pizza My Heart, a crowd of about, 10 or 15 people who were just sort of chatting after the Frank Little Club meeting had broken up. Since there's not a lot of activism around homeless rights issues, though, I hope there will be more. The task force is an option for people who want to, go to these sort of stratified meetings. They're also going to include business representatives and conservative people appointed by Michael Hernandez and Cynthia Matthews and people who have earned a reputation for oppressive votes on homeless rights issues. These are city council members. There's going to be a lot of people on this task force that are bad, and the idea that something good can nonetheless come out of it, I suppose, is possible, but not one that I want to expend a lot of energy on. I'd rather be pressing the city council, as I have been, to open up a safe area because of abuses that have been happening. We have at least four documented police reports of beatings in the last 6 months. I have said that there are at least four or five times as many. And then we had reports out at the Homeless Services Center. You're going to hear an interview about this shortly, about shots being fired at homeless people. First, we're going to hear an interview with a man at the weekly HUF meeting. And for those of you who are interested, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, does meet every Saturday at 11 o'clock out at the Homeless Services Center. And we also hold meetings at other times. And if you're interested in joining HUF or getting more information about HUF, you just jump on the phone and dial 423-HUF, 423-4833. Lots of stuff coming up around how to defend people against sleeping tickets, how to pressure city council into taking some action to establish a safe zone. We need your help, 423-HUF. But as I said, we're going to now be listening to an interview of a homeless man who faced discrimination at Emmeline. He also was apparently given pretty nasty treatment by Officer Seeley. We talked about this in the last show, out at the Homeless Services Center, who apparently feels that walking across property that every homeless person uses that I know of, and to go back and forth to Bean's Coffee Shop a block over from the Homeless Services Center is justification for harassment of at least one particular homeless man. And he harassed him at least twice. I got a phone call, at least if his account is to be believed, and frankly, I believe it. It sounded credible to me, although he is without witnesses, and I haven't spoken to Officer Seeley, and I hopefully will do that in the days ahead and report back to you as to what he said. The kind of harassment by the officers who are supposed to be protecting homeless people against troll busters and are actually sort of using the same kind of troll buster mentality themselves, though not these overt violence, at least not in visible public circumstances, it's really disheartening. Let's hear this interview, and don't forget to call in if you're interested in talking about it. 427-3772.
We're talking to a man who doesn't wish to have his identity disclosed, but you had some problems over at Emmeline in terms of getting what you need with an injury, is that right?
Yes.
What happened?
I was offered for what I believe to be a pensioner in my lower back and spine, elbow, and ibuprofen.
Yes.
Elbow, which is an antidepressant. Uh-huh. And there was both a doctor and a nurse present. And I didn't get nothing, you know, as far as, you know, I walked down at that point. The next day I came back, I had to go through every branch and department after the day. Actually, the day before, I talked to Ruben Chavez, right? He's supposed to be one of the head honchos on the main floor, one of the administrative department, whatever. I talked to him, he helped me out or whatever, but he wouldn't sympathize with the idea that scientifically, an antidepressant has nothing to do with a pinched nerve or a pain or an injury. Mm-hmm. And ibuprofen might, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but the pain. It's pretty mild for a pinched nerve.
Yeah. The next day, anyways, he wasn't present. When I talked to the head administrative staff, I worked my way all the way down the line, the level, through the nurses. I met everyone in the entire facility with everyone, medical staff, right?
Getting a lot of friends over there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Could be party time.
I even had a security guard hitting on me. You know, she wanted to, you know, grab me and detain me and try and false, you know, false imprison me and hold me back. You know, she's trying to hold me back from walking into M-Line because I was scaring the nurses because I was angry and I was in pain.
Now, did your anger manifest itself in any way that the average middle class person would have regarded as threatening? Were you threatening people verbally, or had you banged the table? Had you screamed at the top of your lungs?
No, I told him I would drink 2 quarts of beer and take as many Benadryl as I could steal from the store to kill myself, because I was in that much pain, you know, and I needed something, or else they could just take me in, 50-50, you know. I didn't want to do anything, didn't say anything about that, you know, didn't bother me about suicide or anything like that, because I was in that much pain. Anyways.
so this happened over a course of 2 days, 3 days. How many visits? We're talking about 2 visits, 2 days.
We're talking about 2 days, yeah.
And ultimately, what happened? How long ago was
this? Police came the first day.
Right. Police, SCPD, or
or
the sheriffs,
the police. Mm-hmm. RoboCop and
officer
some sort of escalate. And they warned me and threatened me with trespassing. I told them I wasn't going to leave until I got my medical attention.
Uh-huh.
And they told me I had to leave, you know. And I had to hobble, you know, over 2 miles with my injury that had been poked and prodded already and documented as severe pain that I was, you know, was hysterical, supposedly, right?
When was this?
This was the 17th of
May.
Yes.
About a month ago?
No, this month, June.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so this was 3 days ago we're talking.
Like 2 days ago.
2 days ago, so. How was your pinched nerve?
It was pretty bad. I couldn't even hardly walk, you know. I mean, I'd have a lady friend of mine drive me all over the place. And I can walk on it now, but I got half my medication yesterday after I'd spent the entire day there.
What medication did they finally give you?
No, Roboxin. Muscle relaxer. They're supposed to give me another anti-inflammatory, and instead they cut me away from a clean period, total analgesic anti-inflammatory down to ibuprofen again. Right?
That old ibuprofen. I guess it's cheaper for them.
They made me wait 4.5 hours for the ibuprofen, and then they decided that they'd x-ray me, even though I had an appointment on the 1st of July, right? I go into the x-ray technician, and I'm not even wearing any underwear, so I'm already uncomfortable. I'm in pain. I can't lay down flat. And they tilt up the thing, you know. And I get on the thing, and I got this gown on, you know, I'm naked underneath, right? And this lady wants to move my legs and stuff, and do all the same stuff that the doctors and every other nurse in the damn place have done to me. You know, let me feel, you know, felt damn near molested, you know. They want to poke a prod at your ass or wherever your pinched nerve is, and then they, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's no digging in here. Anyways, back on the table, this lady grabs my kneecap and starts moving my leg around, my injured pinched nerve area, or whatever.
Right. Did you request her not to?
that I told her not to.
Okay.
Told her not to like 8 times. By the 8th time I was screaming in pain. And I jumped off the table. I said, "You fucking fat black bitch, get off me. You know, get the fuck away from me. I have nothing to do with you fucking psychopaths." And I hobbled out of the hospital, right? And I threw my pills down and I smashed my ibuprofen on the floor.
But you kept your muscle relaxed.
Yes. Ibuprofen anyways, apparently hit one of the nurses, and she's gonna claim an assault.
Right.
So they called the police. And they told me again, you know, either we're gonna take you on 5150, or we're gonna charge you with trespassing.
Go away, we're changing tapes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's about 11:45 we're talking to.
And we'll have a brief musical break before we go to the second interview, also recorded yesterday at the Homeless Services Center. Somewhat more sobering interview. Let's have a little musical booster here.
Red-headed woman, make a red. And that was Peter Paul and Mary's version of Nobody Wants You When You're Down and Out. I guess Peter Paul was, Mary joined up with another singer. I'm not sure who he was. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We are struggling with a new mixer board here, which apparently puts people who are calling in at a great disadvantage. So we have a caller on the line. I'm going to encourage the caller to speak very loudly. It is the one and only Jim Costner from downtown Santa Cruz. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Robert. How are you today?
I'm good. So what's the good word from Pacific Avenue?
Well, it's so really nice to see different people tabling downtown right now. Bernard from the Peace and Freedom Party is downtown Santa Cruz tabling, and he's talking with people about the Steve Argue case, and he has a big photograph there on his table that shows people clearly what Officer David LeFevre was doing on May 22nd to this woman with this child. And he basically has a petition out, and he's trying to get people to come out and sign the petition and give your support. Steve Argue was a man, just really quickly, I'm sure Robert's talked about his case a lot on his radio show, and other people have as well. And Steve, real quickly, Steve is basically the man who was pepper sprayed and beaten by Officer LeFevre and others of the Santa Cruz Police Department on May 22nd during a nonviolent peaceful First Amendment protest against the war in Yugoslavia. So Steve is now looking at 4 years in the penitentiary and being charged with assault and battery on a police officer, and we're asking for people to come out and, in his defense and take a stand for him and support him, because his case is essentially a case of human rights. His case is a case of being free from police brutality. His case is largely just in the whole movement of against police repression in our community and in this country. So I just want to encourage people to come down to downtown and talk with the folks who are down here tabling and sign the petition if you would, and also come out to Steve's court hearing this Wednesday at the county building at 8:15 a.m. And I appreciate Robert letting me make that announcement on free radio.
Yeah, Jim. No problem. You still there?
Oh, yeah.
I know you also mentioned that you felt you were very heartened yesterday by a meeting of the Frank Little Caucus of the Peace and Freedom Party, which I've kind of mentioned briefly. But this is a group that you feel will deal with a number of issues concerning homeless rights and police misconduct?
Well, I'm not largely in favor of electoral politics, to be honest. That's my personal opinion. But overall, I was very heartened, very ecstatic about the fact that there was a meeting of 50 people yesterday, people from the Bay Area and in Santa Cruz, who basically decided to create a Frank Little Club caucus, which is basically the revolutionary wing of the Peace and Freedom Party, and establish it here in Santa Cruz and continue to build a base area for revolutionary politics and liberation politics here out of Santa Cruz and in the Bay Area. So I'm extremely excited about that, and we will be taking on issues like issues that you're working on and you're such a champion of in terms of fighting against the sleeping ban and fighting against some of these other downtown ordinances and some of these just blatant laws that are totally violating of people's rights here in the community, especially poor people and economically deprived people in our community, especially people of color and so on.
And I guess you mentioned that if people want to get involved with this group or get more information about the Steve Argue case, they can contact you?
Well, there is a number, but of course I don't have it on me because I'm just across the street. I'm at the payphone. But if people are really interested, they can call. Actually, you should have a flyer right there in the studio, Robert, that has Steve's. There's a phone number right there for Steve's defense.
Looking around.
Right on the right side of you on the wall. And then in terms of the people want to talk about the Frank Little Club, we haven't established an official phone number yet for the club, but basically you can page at 421-7531, 421-7531, and someone will definitely get back with you if people are interested out there on the radio waves.
Wow, that sounds great. Anything happening today we should know about, Jim?
Today, actually, I think I looked at the calendar, and I think it's relatively, as far as what I know, I think it's relatively quiet in terms of political action today in Santa Cruz, the political movement type of stuff or meetings, but I know there's a whole slew of things coming up this week, but I don't know of what's happening today. I see a lot of people enjoying a sunny day in Santa Cruz, our downtown.
Yeah. Get naked and relax downtown. It's a revolutionary activity.
Well, I don't know if we're doing that. It probably gets a lot, too, but put that on the radio if you want.
Hey.
Is there anything else?
That's all I've got. Actually, I've got more, but it's you'll hear it if you tune into 96.3 FM, free radio.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
And now let's get back to the Homeless Services Center and some rather shocking information from one of our local homeless community.
Okay, it's about 11:45 we're talking to.
John. And
go ahead, John.
two of my buddies have been beat up by these tow busters, and the other day on the woods, they go by in the night, and then people, it sounded like it'd be about 9mm, straight across three camps, and the bullets were bouncing off the trees. About 4 feet above us, but we're still, emptying the guns at us.
So what's with the time on, what date was this? This happened today, is Saturday the 19th?
Probably about the 6th and about 9 o'clock.
6th or 16th?
6th.
6th, so it was about 3 weeks ago?
And about 9 o'clock.
And where, more or less, was this? Poganip or?
Just got it, on the riverside of Poganip, on Highway 9, at the call box, close to the call box.
Okay. And how many of you were witness to this? Were you a witness, John? Was this a friend of yours? Is it?
So they were ducking the bullets. They were zooming back across, and they were laughing, shouting. They were in an RV, one of those recreational vehicle members, and white, young, and just. Just at about 35-40 miles an hour, just go straight across and empty the guns right up through the camps.
And how many people were in the camps?
There was two people in the body was over.
And what time of evening was this, or morning?
9 o'clock.
So 9 in the evening, and we're talking around June 6th. And go ahead, tell me more in details.
Luckily, we ran out of ammunition because the people at the camp, further on down the camp, got at the height they were shooting, and they ran out of shells just as they got to the camp. So they would have had they would have probably shot them.
Did you see how many people there were in this incident?
Couldn't see.
And did you see the vehicle?
Just kind of glimpsed it. Was an RV and white young kids.
And were these, you've heard about the identification of the people who attacked Joe Barker. They described themselves as skinheads dressed all in black, called themselves cops, get up, and this sort of thing. I think this is the same group, a different group?
Yes, they came back and a friend of was camped out there. I moved away just 2 months. They were right, and a friend of mine was still camped out there, and they came out in the middle of the night and whacked him in the face with a baseball bat.
Yeah, the approximate time when that happened, like a date, rather? About the 10th. I mean, your friend had a first name? Can we put a first name?
Yeah.
Is he around? Or? We don't have detail on here, but you say that the man was injured significantly, was bloodied up and so forth. Did he seek hospitalization, you know? And nobody made police reports about any of this stuff? Was there a conscious decision as to why you, for example, would not make a police report about this?
Camping illegally. We're out there illegally camping, And they didn't want to be hassled, but when it came back repeatedly, they decided to go there and just drop it.
Remember anything these youths said on the 6th when they came, if that was on that approximate
date? I wasn't aware of them saying anything except this little bit yelling.
How many shots would you say were fired?
They emptied at least 19 shots, at least 20 shots.
And what kind of weapons do you feel were used?
9mm.
Are you yourself a person who's familiar with weapons, or?
I'm not that, but I used to have a 9mm, and I make a pretty distinctive ring.
Forgive me for saying this, but this couldn't have been firecrackers or cherry bombs.
It was trimming off limbs as the shells came across.
So if we went back to the site, we would see trees when there were bullets that hit
that's
trees?
That's a good idea, yes. I could definitely probably track down a tree with bullet holes in it.
Now, would you be willing to go out to such a site and show this to me?
Let me check it out first and see if I can find one. And if I can find one, I'll take it out and show it to you.
Great. So going back the shooting incident on the 6th. You're telling me that two of the folks who moved back to San Francisco, three are just refusing to talk about it, and you were in your camp alone?
Yeah, but it was only about 20 feet to the next camp.
How long had everybody been camped there? Was this a long time camp?
It was a long time camp. We've been there a long time, like months.
Do you want to tell us either on or off tape where the camp was, or do you want that off tape?
Oh, yeah. Moved away, so. I knew a call about, so just a little bit of 9, about 300, let's see, about 200 yards up 9 after the call box on the riverside.
200 yards up 9 near the call box on the riverside?
Yeah. About 100 yards on the other side of the call box down Route 9. There's call box all the time, just, you know, it's like about a half mile out of town.
Wow. And have you suffered anything further since then, or have you heard of any further incidents of beatings or shootings?
No.
That's good.
Not at all. In fact, it was only people camped up on the ridge one that was in jeopardy at all. And they kind of moved out of the grass.
Do you think that these people were trying to scare you or trying to kill you?
The shots were right at just above ground level. And we were just over the hill, so they kind of cut us at about head level when I was laying down.
So
if I didn't stand up, there was a little better chance of me getting hit.
Did you have any conversations with anyone involved about this afterward?
Yeah. People camped next to me.
What did you guys talk about, and what came out of that conversation?
Nothing. I just moved away. Nothing.
And they moved, you say, up north?
Yeah.
You have their names? You know who they are?
Nope.
But you know who they are, if you saw them again.
I don't know. It didn't seem to be after anybody in particular. We just came by and joyriding, like, no sense. Like, joyriding and just unloading about. It was 22 and a 9mm. And it isn't the first time I've heard shots over there. I've heard shots over there before. There's a big coming by and just unloaded guns. And that's the same place that two people I know got beat up by the trail busters.
Who are those two people? You mentioned them before. These are these people who got beat up later. And they actually got beat up after this shooting?
Yeah. They must have come back like a week later or something. About 4 or 5 days later and pounded on.
These two guys are still around.
Yeah. I might be able to get one of them to talk to you.
That'd be good. I'm broadcasting this stuff on Free Radio Santa Cruz, unless you object, in which case we'll hold back the tape. Looks like you don't object.
Yeah, I did. The problem is suddenly it arise in confrontations with the kids, and it's just a real tragedy going out and beating on these people, and then they end up with a family record of violence and strike against them. I mean, the people out there don't deserve to be beat on. The kids just come out there drunk or whatever. It's an insane absurdity. I was going to suggest nobody camp down Riverside at 9 because it's 6 months on those 3 occasions and shots over the hill.
If you were to estimate the number of beatings or attacks on homeless people in the last 6 months and make a conservative estimate, how many times would you say that has happened?
Very rarely, until just recently. Just recently there's been an upswing of 3 or 4 reports of people being attacked while sleeping, mostly. And it's just a long wall through winter, just in the last month, all of the last month, just a rash of and the idea of using guns as well.
It's pretty sobering, to say the least.
Well, it's sobering in there isn't any real way that you can anything you can do about it unless you get a tag number. And if you've been in a position to get a tag number, you've been in a position to get shot. Or the idea of them coming out and beating on people in the middle of the night.
Except the police know who the suspects in the Barker case are, and they haven't arrested them. Yeah.
Probably the same. It's the same area.
They're probably the same ones?
No, it's the same area. The same area.
You want to give your name for this tape?
And there we have it, the
first interview mentioning shootings. Actually, he mentioned 3 shootings in the last, I guess, what, 9 months or a year. When he talked about the most recent, which he put around June 6th, happening on the area riverside of Highway 9 as you just go out of town near the police call box. I went up there with him and with video journalist Becky Johnson shortly after this interview yesterday to check for more concrete evidence of shootings like branches that were shot off. But understand that this happened a couple of weeks ago, and of course the man may be completely demented or not telling the proper story, but that certainly wasn't my impression talking to him. I've known him for several years casually as a homeless person, and I've not found him to be a liar. I have no actual experience with him in terms of lengthy accounts of this or that, but he's, I only have a superficial acquaintance with him in the sense of that, but I think his story is worth considering, and I find it credible. We found, as I said, no evidence of trees hit by bullets, although it's hard to tell what's bullets and what's not. We found no shell casings, but again, this was sometime, well, at least a week later, a week and a half later, and the casings might well have been cleaned up, or the road may have been graded since then. In fact, there was some evidence.